I'm Stacey Kringlin, and you are listening to AV Power Up.
Good evening, John Green with Advanced AV. Listen, welcome to be back to AV Power Up.
He's back. Look at that.
Yes. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, depending on where you are in the world. I know that I'm in Northern California cloud that is taking part in the show known as AV Power Up. Welcome. My name is Johnny. I follow you, just not on Twitter. It's not weird. Welcome to AV Power Up.
That might have been the longest intro we've ever had. Man.
That was long indeed. So I'm Katie McGregor Bennett, KMB Communications. Yeah, Katie McGregor. We're in the great state of Montana where we have hashtag tech and AMT. Have to learn more. AV Power Up, here we go.
Yeah, and I'm Corey Moss at CB Moss. And you are listening to the show here on Rave Pubs Radio. And I am your host. By the way, John, do you know why I am your host now?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, I will actually. So there just happens a few weeks back where the reason you're on this show is because you contacted me and said,
I did. Well,
Corey, you know, I think I'd like to be on the show. I don't want Hope and Bender having all fun, right? You remember that?
Oh, yes, I remember Krista.
Well, yeah, so I told her about that. I said, oh, yeah, look, John wants to come back. He said, I don't want to have Hope and Bender having all the fun. She said, well, he can have all the fun he wants. I'm leaving. Guess what? She's got her own show.
That's great. Yeah, I saw it. It was a great show.
Did you check the show
out? Yes, I checked the show out.
Yeah. No, it was good stuff.
Yeah.
You know who she had on the show? She's here tonight. Katie McGregor Bennett.
Oh, I thought it was me.
Maybe
you might have been there.
You could tell us from the inside, Katie.
We have a little insider information on the show that happened.
A little inside scoop. No, it was great. It ended up just being three lovely ladies talking tech. Originally, we were going to try to focus a little bit on CES and what we actually had seen personally, so we ended up, since none of us actually ended up going, we all kind of watched the Twitter sphere and the social sphere, and just kind of, you know, we talked a lot about sort of what was being reported, what was trending, where we think it's going, you know, viable, not viable, will it make into custom, is it a commercial thing, is it really more DIY consumer, so, you know, that was a great conversation, a little bit, I was going to say all over the board, but that gives it a negative connotation, which I didn't need to say,
so. And that other wonderful woman was Jane Johnson. Yes. Jane was actually supposed to be on with us last week. Jane got a little under the weather, but she got better real quick for Krista on the weekend to be there with you. And no, it was really good stuff. You guys had a great show, Tech Chaos, Krista's new show. If you didn't catch it, please do. The next one, we will see what Krista brings, and it's going to be a regular show. It's going to be great. So Johnny does the AV Insider. He does it well. And Johnny, quickly, what'd you do with the AV Insider?
What did I do with it? It's in the cloud.
Yeah, okay. So what's in the cloud?
Currently right now, just a bunch of my random thoughts. One random thought is that I'll never understand fast food because I've eating it for years, but I always just seem to be getting slower and slower. So, not going well. I'll say that.
Fast food makes you slow. What do you know?
Making me slow.
Before we get back to Pop-Pop in the room, we have another guest with us tonight, Mr. Paul Zeely of Harman. How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
That's good. Thanks for joining us tonight, Paul. And, you know, I got to tell you, a lot of things happening in the environment, some things I want to talk about. But I think before we talk tech, John Green, we have to talk about something that's going on tonight. Now, when the show posts, it's already going to happen, and we're going to know one of two things. Either you are going back to your office tomorrow, okay, you're going to start viral posting on Facebook about how you're just a normal guy again, or John Green is winning the big Powerball. And John, what are you doing when you win Powerball? What is the first thing?
I'm going to be contacting Adele.
Adele.
Yes, I'm going to be arranging for a private in my living room concert for me and just a few of my friends. I'm sure that she, you know, I'm going to be able to coax her right into my living room. And I'm going to go so far as I've worked this all out is that I'm going to be laying in her lap as she sings to me personally and combs her fingers through my hair. How's that?
Stacy's on mute right now, but if she wasn't, you'd be hearing huge laughter right this moment.
I would pay money to see that.
You don't have to. It's all paid.
If we're splitting the money, you can at least help out there. So
no, we're all being flown in. Is this of us on the show?
John, is this concert going to be songs about you?
No. She can just basically go through any of the albums that she liked. You know, maybe I'll come up with a list for her to sing to.
A custom list.
I figured if I had the money and that was my wish, which it's not, obviously.
Right.
I would request that we obviously started dating immediately, and then break up so that there would be a whole album of songs about our breakup.
You'd have to go and be really horrible to her because just breaking up simply does not secure an album. Yeah. So we need some bad behavior, some horrible incidents.
Right. So the stalking and my constant calling her probably isn't enough to create a song.
I think that's enough. No, you got to step it up a notch.
I think you're probably right, because when I unfollowed Tay Tay, or you know her as Taylor Swift, on Twitter, there was no immediate breakup song following that scenario. So you're probably correct.
You don't know. Maybe she wrote it. Maybe it's sitting in the bin. Who knows?
Maybe. So anyway, when is this concert planned for, John? Do we know? Because here's your challenge, okay? You got the money, you got the food, you got the drinks, you've got everybody there at your house. How do you get Adele to come?
I haven't thought that through.
This is great. You're planning the whole event and Adele hasn't even been notified.
That's my opinion about the lottery, is all the stuff is in your head anyway. There's not a chance any of us are going to win the money.
You know what the odds are, right?
Yeah. $295 million or something.
It's 220, right? Some 235 million to one or something like that.
Right,
something along those lines.
Right. Saying there's a chance.
But there is a chance.
But if you buy more tickets, doesn't that increase your odds?
Yeah.
No. I think if they say you bought
the fact that my purse is overflowing with paper tickets.
How many tickets do you plan on buying, first of all?
I got 132. That's what I got. So
you bought 132 by yourself?
Take $132 in your hand.
We're part of the office pool, but it's one of those situations. Like, I literally wasn't going to make the office today, and I wasn't in the pool. So I called in and said, oh, please, somebody cover me for $5. It's only for the fear that group's going to win, and you decided that day not to put the $5 in.
Now, John, if somebody else wins, do they at least get you tickets for an Adele concert?
Oh, I've got my fingers out in the social everywhere. Anybody that wins is taking me someplace with Adele. That's all I got.
Well, John, I can't wait till tomorrow when everybody loses and we see all of this. Hey, Paul. Yeah, what? What'd you say?
Oh, I was saying I didn't win the lottery, but if I do, I don't know Adele. And again, I'm not into Adele. But we have a restaurant here in town called Adele's. So I would take you there, John.
I'm not far from Adele, Pennsylvania either.
Okay. You can go to Adele, Pennsylvania and listen to it. So, Paul, who is the star of the band, anybody that's being invited to your living room if you won Powerball?
Trying to think who's
still alive. Johnny's assistant?
That's Johnny's assistant.
They're dropping. I don't get Lemmy anymore.
Well, no, unfortunately, no. That's horrible. You're right. Next.
I don't know. I think Hank 3.
Hank 3.
Hank Williams III. He's an interesting guy. I'm still out on the music, but I think he's reasonably local.
I don't think that dog agrees with you, Paul. Whoever's dog that is trying to agree with you, you know. Yeah, is that your dog, Paul?
Like Hank 3. I don't know who I would bring. I don't necessarily want strangers in my house.
Okay, well, no strangers. You just keep the how much, John? How much do you take home after all?
It's less than a billion.
Yeah, it's 500. I think it's like $800 million.
After all
the taxes and everything else, the government, the federal, and the states, and all that other stuff, take about 2/3 of it.
Yeah, I live in the great state of Texas. Yeah. They don't take any of it.
Oh, okay.
So I get that extra piece. Only have to pay the 25% to the feds.
I'd almost bet Paul didn't play, though.
I did, actually.
Oh, you did? Really?
Yeah, the thing that's really going to kill me, though, is just so you could have the U.S. experience, I had a visitor in from Austria, from AKG this week, so I bought him one, and I'm going to feel like a big when he wins.
That's great. Take all that winning offshore like everybody else does.
My picture on the security camera at 7-Eleven plastered all over the world.
Oh, God.
So is it this visitor's first time to the States?
No, he's been here a couple of times, but he has not had the Texas experience, which is a little more.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so...
I'll tell you, it changes. It really does. It changes the topic. Everybody's talking about it, no matter what. On the radio, in social, amongst your friends. It's just, it's really strange. And you're right. Tomorrow morning, this could be about, 359 million very unhappy people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what. So we knew that if John wins, Adele's coming to his house. If Paul wins, he wants no strings.
Here's a question I got to ask you, Corey. If anybody is going to spend that money and buy an AV company?
Me.
There you go.
AV company? Who wants to own an AV company?
We're talking AV companies.
You're going to buy a few of them.
I've got an acquisition list.
I'm going to buy all the AV companies in Virginia. No, I'm not going to buy the companies in Virginia.
Oh, no, not
in another state.
I want manufacturers.
We want to buy manufacturers.
I want to buy manufacturers.
You want to get bid in on Econo before Cisco closes the deal? What?
No.
You got time. You got time for that one.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've
got to listen. I know Rowan Trollope. I know Rowan Trollope. I can talk to him. You think I should go talk to Rowan, John? You coming with me?
Listen, I got seriously. Who would you buy? I mean, TV if you, I got to listen to your list.
I don't know, man. That's got to be one of the great deals out there. If you can get in on it, you know.
No, number one on my list, buy TV One.
Okay.
Okay.
Then I would. Well, it depends on whether I would probably buy a tiny little company called High Resolution Systems.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, to fill in the audio side, if I would go with Limes. Probably talk to Phoenix, except the guys who would make all the money in Phoenix would then retire.
Right.
On the audio side, I'd have a bit of a trouble deciding where to go on audio processing. And then I would probably homebrew. Actually, yeah. Then I would probably homebrew on the media, licensing off AppDivision or the Tico codec.
Wow. Katie, what would you do?
Yeah, Katie.
You buying any manufacturers?
Would I buy manufacturers?
You want Powerball. Let's go.
Woohoo, we want Powerball.
You want Powerball. Woo, yeah.
Gosh, well, my husband and I have all, we didn't buy any tickets this time around, but we used to, and we used to do the whole work pool thing, and it's kind of funny. We didn't get around to it today, and
we still got a couple hours.
All right, thanks,
buddy. So you're that person in that story I just told. They're the ones that are going to win. Some rancher in Montana.
Exactly. We could buy several ranches in Montana. Anyone want to join us?
Yeah. I think Johnny's buying taco shops.
That would be my number one go-to, or I would probably just be careless and like diversify my bonds, so to speak, and buy 1.5 billion lottery tickets.
You gotta pick up some Bitcoin along the way, too.
Bitcoin.
Yes.
And every day scratching until his little heart's
as long as you get those 1.5 billion lottery tickets and scratch them before the end of the year, you can write them off against your winnings.
There you go.
So Paul's got this all figured out.
He does have this all figured out. Look at this. We got to invite – hey, Paul, you want to be part of the crew? You can really help us do a lot of things.
He's going to really up our profile.
Do your tax planning.
Tax planning.
You're about to pay $500 million to the federal government. I suggest you buy a billion lottery tickets to reduce
taxes. Just do that every year.
Stacy's listening, but, we need to know. We need to know, Stacy. Are you buying a football team?
No.
Are you going to make the Vikings better with that money?
No.
No.
Oh, I've given up.
No, could you make the Vikings better with that kind of money?
No. It doesn't matter. No amount of money could help.
Now, Stacy, so the game, right? End of the game, right? So what exactly happened in the house? You're watching the game. It's easy, right? No problem. Put it through the goalpost.
And that was everyone else watching. I knew what was going to happen.
You already knew.
Minnesota teams do it to you every year. It doesn't matter. There was a lot of colorful language. Had to plug Natalie's ears. A little rough. A little rough. My husband was a little cranky.
And everybody's blaming that kicker. But again, from what I heard, the laces were in.
Yeah, and then it's kind of cute. This morning on the news, I heard there was like a first grade class at some elementary school that wrote him a bunch of letters saying, it's okay, try harder.
Oh, try harder next time.
Unfortunately, yeah. I'm not sure.
Everybody gets the same size trophy.
It's like that commercial right there.
But the second graders wrote, fire that guy.
Exactly.
The first graders in Philadelphia would not write letters like that.
I'm sure they had to search for a while to find some school somewhere where a class wrote stuff like that.
Right, would write nice letters, right?
Yeah, I followed it in social because that's anytime anything bad happens, I immediately go to Twitter. I have to hear what they have to say about it. But they say he was a real class act. He really stood. You know, he stood his ground and took the interviews and stuff like that. That's a tough thing, man. That's one position I would never take.
That's a thankless position
there's no way you'll ever win in that position.
No.
And I couldn't even be mad at him because I'm like, dude, you're the only one that scored any of our points in that game. So,
well, there you go.
Where was everyone else?
Again, I laugh. I chuckle at it. It's that Midwestern kindness that goes on. It doesn't matter if he would have scored 900 points. If he missed a losing, if he lost a game because of one kick, they would have roasted him on Broad Street.
Hey, John, if he's the Philly kicker, cement shoes, right?
Right, John? Oh, my God. They would have chopped him up with some onions and some cheese. They'd have out of him.
Oh, man.
They couldn't even wait to the end of the season to get rid of the coach in Philly. Yeah. So, come on. Guy, you miss a game-winning goal like that? Style.
Well, anyway, so my team's out, too, here in D.C. Metro. I mean, we got –
There was no expectation.
Not from me. Everybody else in this crazy place is like, you know, hell to the Redskins, hit her. I'm like, really? And then we got to the playoffs. Again, another one we get to. Oh, by the way, did you check out RG3 cleaning out his locker and leaving some kind of message?
Really? Oh, no, I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. What a troublemaker, you know, whining.
He's not going anywhere. Cousins is showing to be a real quarterback, I think. You know?
He is. I think he's the future. I really do. I thought he really deserved his chance, you know, at least a year or so ago. You know, the whole controversy now, finally, you know, Snyder said, okay, clear your locker, get out. I mean, I think with him gone, the Skins are really going to have a chance now because he's a total malcontent. You get the malcontent out of the locker room.
You really are. You're in a
division. Are you talking about Snyder as a total malcontent?
No, he's a total – I don't even – I think he is.
That was my opinion when I lived in the D.C. area, that he was the malcontent.
Well, he is a malcontent. Well, no, he's a malcontent, but, you know, he's a guy who just never gets it right. He mortgages the farm for RG3. Now he releases RG3. While he mortgages the farm, it's going to take us time to build this thing back up. I mean, we've got to start now.
He had another month before he had to pay him.
We shouldn't get into this. Let's not talk Vikings, Redskins.
We got to add another thing to the news of the Rams going to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You know, that poor town still got another 15 years to pay. We talk about winning a lottery. They need to, you know, they need that $585 million to pay off the debt they still have.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know.
The NFL don't care.
No, the NFL doesn't care about anything. They're money-making. Look, the NFL's always been a money-making machine. What do they care about anything, you know? I mean, that's the biggest thing with the NFL. It's the richest sport in, you know, I think in the world, right?
Paul was mentioning, like, earlier, is it used to be a time where you can invest in your heart and soul in a team. I've been watching the Eagles since way too long, and when they lost the first game, I said, you know, this is an entertainment. This isn't a football team. This is entertainment. I have to decide. I'm going to watch and have fun and let it go. So
yeah,
Because I bet you there are people in Minnesota that were really like lost a week of happiness over a stupid kick.
Yeah, for sure. Everyone, my Facebook like blew up. Everyone just F-bombs everywhere. Right. Like, you guys, it's not life or death.
It's Minnesota. It's not like life you say, I'm going to go for a walk and cool down.
Yeah, right?
You open your front door.
You're kind of cold out there to be taking a walk. So, but then again, in Montana, we have the great, what is the football team called out there again, Kate?
We went through this. We've got the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies. We've got the Cats. Those are the big ones. But then, of course, if you go down to the community level, then you've got, like, what, the Miners and the...
Well, the community level. Quite. Here we go. So sports in Montana. You're watching the sports report in Montana. We're getting down to the community level here, huh?
Do you really want to go there? Because, you know, it's ski-joring season. And
I was going to say, does the football report come on before or after the rodeo?
No, well, rodeo is a summer thing, but the football report comes after ag report and, before the cattle
price. There you go.
If the rodeo was a winter thing.
But soybean futures are.
Yeah, soybean futures. And then they play the national anthem and it goes off air, right?
It's not soybeans, it's sugar beets, first of all.
Sugar beets.
Sugar beets, yeah, sugar beets.
All right, well, yeah. Sugar beets and tech, you know, we got all that. So anyway, to start this thing off with, we will have tech talk, you know, so we're here. We are a tech show, yeah. I think. So anyway, to start off the tech talk, Katie McGregor Bennett out there in Montana, we got a little thing going called hashtag tech and MT. For Montana technology. Katie's found a few things to talk about. So, Katie, why don't you roll with that?
Yeah. So it stemmed out of a conversation I think you and I had first, and this has been around we've been kicking around for like 5 days, I think, something like that. So I've been kind of focused on ISE and everything, and I haven't really spent as much time looking into it as I wanted to. But before we got on the show, I was like, oh, yeah, Corey's going to make me talk about this. But oddly enough, let me back up. So tech in Montana for us, and we haven't been here that long. We have family here, but we moved KMB Communications here when it was 2 years old, 1 year old. So we really have kind of, we've grown from here, but not from within the state. We don't have any clients in Montana. They're everywhere else but here. But as we kind of get more established here, we do video production and photography as well as PR and social media and marketing and that kind of thing. And the more people we talk to, it's like, wow, we didn't even know you guys were here. We didn't even know there was somebody that did that here. We didn't know. And social media it's not as big here in the great big state of Montana, but it has, from a personal standpoint, it has a really strong presence. So Corey and I were kind of talking about just, you know, kind of, you know, what is it about Montana? And it's, you know, believe it or not, there's actually a lot of tech here. And as over the last couple of weeks, we've been involved with doing some production work at a recording studio. This guy, he just moved his family up from LA a year ago, you know, wanted to get out of sort of that environment. They have a 5 or 6 year old daughter and didn't want to have her growing up in those kind of a school system. And she is in a school that will have a 35 kids in it, and it's K through 8. You know, it's this tiny little school, but in any event, it's just there actually is a really strong tech community here, and it's growing, not necessarily from within the state. It's growing from outside, people coming in and bringing their technologies or bringing their concepts and launching the technologies here. Or there are other companies that are expanding into, and lo and behold, one of those is Oracle. I had no idea, but they're looking to expand. They're coming into Bozeman, which for me is 2.5 hours away. And 2.5 hours away could be Bozeman. It could be, you know, south of Cody, Wyoming, or it literally could be Yellowstone. So when you kind of look at those three sort of factors, the fact that Oracle is coming to Montana is, I mean, it's big, and you know it means something. And there's a quote, I think, from the NBC, a local affiliate here in Montana, and they were saying, one of the people they were quoting was just saying, you know, like, why would we want to move away from a place like this to start a new company when our roots and our family and, you know, everything that we've grown up with and lived with is here, when you have exactly the same opportunity, you know? And like Johnny's joking about, you know, he's in the cloud. Well, we're all in the cloud at this point. So it really, you know, for me, for launching KMB Communications and establishing, you know, the work that we do, to be able to prove to a tech-based industry that we can do it when we live in the middle of nowhere is kind of a big deal. And so in sort of making that statement for ourselves and then looking to see what other organizations are doing the same thing, there's a lot going on, and it's kind of cool. We're part of a groundswell, and that's, so the hashtag Tech in Montana or Tech in MT is kind of my company's way of recognizing that there are other tech-based organizations here, whether they're a startup or not, really is irrelevant. It's more just that there is a tech base in a place like Montana, and we're not the only ones, you know, but this, the whole, you know, middle of the U.S., there's a lot more going on than I think we give credit to, and we kind of want to bring that to light. So
Kate, let me ask you a question. And what size of the population of Oracle are going to be there? Is it 20,000 people?
They haven't said yet. They haven't said that. This just this one was just written after the beginning of the year. It came out on the 6th. So it's still pretty high level.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what's your take on it? I think that when we go about hiring, we've taken a certain approach too, in that they don't have to be in the Philadelphia region. They can be throughout the United States. And we feel that there's a certain amount of positions and a certain amount of help that we can find throughout the United States. But you still have a heart in a company like Oracle. Like we have in the Philadelphia, not very far from my home, is SAP.
Yeah.
And they have a headquarters location, but there's tens of thousands of employees. Do you think they're going there just for quality of life? I mean, Montana is a lovely place.
Yeah. I think that's part of it. Personally, and therefore selfishly, I say, that's the draw, because it isn't easy. It's not to say that you can move to a state like this or into a rural area and you're not just going to nail it right off the bat. You know, Corey and I are joking all the time. It's like, my internet sucks. There's the big secret. I just let the world know that. But you know, at the end of the day, if that's the biggest challenge that we have, that's really not that big a deal. And it's, you know, you find ways to work around it. And quite honestly, we were joking the other day. It's like, we've had clients who give us a little bit of a little ration whenever we have a slow connection or no connections. It's like, yeah, but my connection hasn't gone down for a week. And
I'll tell you,
has lost connection for days. Right.
But it doesn't, but I'll tell you, a company like Oracle can come in and solve that big problem in a really short
time. Tell me about it. So that's where it starts. The conversation gets to be really exciting at that point.
I mean, even we got into a very similar tech situation with just where we were, right? We're literally in the suburbs of Philadelphia, and we couldn't get cable. We decided to make a major investment and ask them to run the cable. But shortly after that, it was everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, there's this article. It is. And it is. I mean, it's very exciting. I mean, there's a couple of other companies that they were citing in this one. It was Oracle, Zoot, Elixir, and Aptus. I don't know the other ones. No. But those are all tech companies that are going into Bozeman that are coming from the outside. Mm. And they're talking about quality of life, but this article also goes on to say that from a salary basis, there's a pretty strong benefit to being here. And so what they're saying is high tech companies pay salaries at an average of $63,000 a year,
right,
which is according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. And that's more than a job in healthcare, which pays $41,000, or finance, which is $56,000. Right.
Their lunch bills in New York.
they
are.
And I mean,
the expenses for lunch in New York would probably be $160,000 to $70,000 per employee.
Parking.
Right. Yeah, well, that too.
But I guess the other question I have, and we run into it as well, is that in Philadelphia there's a pharmaceutical corridor that goes from where we are all the way up through Princeton, and it's based upon the fact that their education. You know, we're Philadelphia is a university town. There's plenty of universities in there, and they stay and they work for the farmers.
Yeah.
Is that an issue for your area? Or do you think they're going to depend upon go find it off the internet, go find them in the cloud?
I think it's going to be the latter, quite honestly. I think so. But, you know, at the same time, and, you know, looking at sort of how we've came to be here in Montana, you know, I think a lot of it's also going to come from outside of the state, and that, you know, as just Americans in general, you know, as a society, we're figuring out how to live where we want to live and do the work that we want to do. And it's, you know, it's just a matter of time before all these cool places are discovered.
I'm going to ask another question. You made a statement about social media, and it's not that. Yeah. You would figure that people that are miles apart, that would be the natural town hall.
Yeah, you'd think. And that's kind of an interesting thing. So we've been here 3 years. The first year, there was not a whole lot, you know, and even if I mentioned Twitter, literally I got sort of that deer in the headlight, like, you know, what'd you say? Now at least we have an understanding that Twitter might not be a weird word and might maybe have something to do with something cool. Facebook is where it's at. And in the first year, not so much. Second year, there was a big fire in town, literally, and right on the other side of the mountain from me, which is not that far. And so being in communications, I'm going just batty because literally I can't find any information. There's no social media. There's no live feeds. There's no anything. The fire departments, you know, all of their updates, bless them, but they're doing it at the end of their shifts. So the updates are coming at 9 o'clock at night. Okay. Right. I'd like to know if my house is going to burn down.
Right. Like a little real time information.
Right. A little, right. And so, you know, this is where, so 2 years ago, this is where the mass notification, emergency communication all of a sudden hit my radar where it's like, oh my God, as an industry, we're talking about this and, you know, I can't even find out if my house is going to burn down. You know, like we are so far from mass notification at this point.
Yeah.
But fast forward another year and that scenario has completely changed. And it is a total town hall and there are different Facebook pages for different issues and events. You know, lost animals, wildlife sightings. You know, to
I can't imagine a social media couldn't provide the information. I mean, of all sorts.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting though is that it's being developed, managed, and grown sort of holistically. You know, these are just, you know, neighbors who have access and are administrating the sites. Right. It's not a government thing. It's not being driven from, you know, it's sort of the people who are kind of taking this on. And that is very cool.
Yeah. Now, John Green has been interviewing Katie McGregor Bennett.
I'm getting close to retirement time. I still want to work for another 30 years because I'm not going to win the lottery tonight. And, and Montana is one of those places. I mean,
so you're thinking about a retirement place, huh? Or not retirement place, a relocation.
Actually, that's my first question.
You're going to buy Montana if you win the Powerball.
Buy Montana. That's what's going to be. He's going to be hashtag pop pop and MT.
I understand the national parks, you don't buy them anymore. You just take a bunch of your friends with guns and stand outside of them.
But you know, you want to be careful doing that here in Montana.
Be careful, John.
Yellowstone, but if it's
don't get me in trouble, John. Please, you know it's my. I have to produce it. Well, actually, the producer of this show has gone away. That dog that was barking in the background is the producer of the show. Was barking directions at me.
No,
he said, "Stop, John, from talking now." So, anyway, I think we have to bring in the other guy on this podcast because the funny thing about Paul Zeeley is he always tells me, he says, "Corey, if I talk too much, just tell me." He's been very silent. So, you know, Paul, we got to give you a little talk time here, you know.
There's only so much I can say about social media.
Well, that's true because you're on Twitter.
You have a Twitter.
You're following nobody.
Right.
And you got how many followers now, Paul?
I don't know. It's in the mid-20s.
I think it was 23 at last count.
I haven't checked lately.
Paul, you got to get a tweet out there if you want to follow her, man. They're just not going
to
follow.
I don't know. They're threatening to force me to tweet for ISE.
They're threatening.
I might have to build a dummy account for that.
Well, you got a cool thing going on for ISE, don't you, Paul?
I got a lot of cool things. I have my own booth at ISE.
Well, do tell. The Paul Zeeley booth at ISE.
The Paul Zeeley booth at ISE. It is – what's the number? It is 1N5.
1N5.
By 30. It's the Paul Zeeley.
Everybody rushed the Paul Zeeley booth.
It's by appointment only. I don't.
Is it a kissing booth, Paul? What kind of booth is it?
I don't talk to strangers.
He doesn't talk to strangers. You might as well be a friend or don't even get close.
So it's not a kissing booth. Harman has a big booth, and they didn't want me in it.
So, got him his own booth.
They just happened to have one down the hall that had been booked by SDSI.
Oh,
so they gave it to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I haven't decided really what I'm going to do with it yet. They've scheduled for me to talk to people, but it's a place to hang out because I found out that if you actually show up at your company's booth during a trade show, they put you to work.
You have to actually talk to people.
Definitely don't show up at the booth the day before the trade show.
Yeah. I think Katie makes her clients do that. They actually have to come to the booth and they have to talk to people, right, Katie?
I'm one of those that, yeah.
You're a stickler.
Yeah, I know. I do. And I, you know, I'll stand there. I'll fix your collar before you go on video, though. So, I'll take care of you. We'll force you to do video, but you look good.
I will show up and talk to people, but it's by appointment.
By appointment. Paul. Paul, this young woman is a publicist. How would you like her to be your personal publicist at the show?
I've been trying to get people to forget who I am.
You want unpublished.
People keep calling me and asking me to do things.
We can depublicize you as well, Paul.
Can you give him negative publicity, Kate?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
No, I have some negative publicity for him.
I have lots of neat things going. I'm doing a 3-hour master's security class. So it's the first time Infocom has pushed Infocom University to ISE.
Right.
And they're taking a concept we pioneered last year at Infocom, where the Infocom education is not for people like me. I sit there and pick apart the presenters and ask nasty questions. And
yeah, don't do that this time.
So they're looking at advanced subjects. They're trying to get to people who have been in the AV for a long time and are working on it. So I tend to do things around either network analysis or security, mm-hmm. or I tried to let them teach a calculus of audio course, but they felt that wouldn't go well with the demographic.
Calculus and audio.
I always complain about the way they teach the audio stuff because they skip all the calculus.
Yeah, Stacy would take that class. Close. I know Stacy would take that. Right, Stacy? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I've got some things. I'm signed up as the happy hour entertainment in the Infocom booth for 2 days.
It is a poll. Really, how could you be a happy hour? You don't want to talk to anybody.
Well, no.
You drink with them.
I'm talking to them, not with them.
He's talking at.
I'm kind of a stickler for words. He didn't necessarily say that it was happy for him.
This is true. Yeah. It's not a happy hour for Paul.
There will be beer there, which is how they get people to talk to me.
They have beer at 10 o'clock in the morning over there. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, of course. They're drinking all day.
So yeah. We're playing a game because I didn't feel like writing a proposal as to what to talk about. So I just said that I'll defend all knowledge and people get to ask questions and I'll just answer them.
He'll defend all knowledge.
Yeah.
Wow. Try and get one by Paul Zeely, right? What if they get one by you, Paul? What do they win?
They got rid of my suggested title, which was Stump the Chump. and I can't remember what they're calling it. And then I'm doing some little 20 or 30 minute thing on containers in streaming because nobody understands containers. Everybody's all hung up on H.264 and H.265 mm-hmm. and MJPEG, and the container is as or more important than the codec and ultimately making things work within the application, and everybody forgets about that and then things don't work. So talking about containers.
So, Paul, what's your opinion on Corey, you got me all hooked up on ISE last year.
Well, you did the show with us last year.
Yeah, we did the show, but it was – I got to tell you, from a monitoring standpoint, as far as a lot of shows that I watched last year in social, ISE was a happening show. This year tends to be another really
– And Katie will be there too.
57,000 people are registered.
Wow. Wow,
that's a ton.
And so they're expecting at this point that's right around where they expect 57,000, to the point that they put a fourth day in, and it wasn't because anybody felt like standing in a trade show booth for yet another day.
It's always a mistake, man.
They exceeded the capacity at the RAI, which is this mega convention center. And they exceeded the fire capacity. So there was no way, the only way they could go was add on another million square feet or add a day.
So I guess what is it? I mean, what's the draw? What's 57,000 people? I mean, because Europe has been there. Texas and Europe's always been there. But all of a sudden it's on fire. Is it just?
Well, it's been growing. It's kind of a combination of NSCA and Infocom, right, all in the same show. So you get out the consumer. There's a lot more thing like building automation and lighting.
Right.
than there is. So you've got a lot of the draw within that area and the facilities type of people. Right. It's in Amsterdam.
Yeah, that's
although that it is.
February, once again, my complaint about the industry that I've chosen to work in, where they send me to Amsterdam in February and Las Vegas in June.
Orlando. It's like a nice place, you know?
Orlando at any time.
Where it's good. Orlando. By the way, we just want to say again, you are listening to the Poppy John Green Show. Oh, thank you very much for inviting us, John.
I will say that I was trying to think. I believe the first Infocom I ever went to was in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was it good? In Philly? What was a good one? That was a good show.
Yeah. You know? Philadelphia.
I went up for the projector shootout. Back when those things mattered.
Yes.
We were trying to judge whether it was worthwhile to pay the extra $11,000 to go from 550 to 600 lumens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Katie,
right.
Katie, what are you doing? Are you just attending? Are you attending to report back? Or
for what?
For the ISC. Okay. You said, Corey said you were going to ISC too.
Oh, yeah. No, Katie's going Canby Communications. It's Canby. Full, full representation. Clients and everything. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, for us, it's as big a show as it is for Infocom and CDF on the residential side. It's an amazing show. And my pitch on what makes it is that it's an AV show. And that we're not talking pro, we're not talking commercial, we're not talking verticals, micro verticals, we're not talking residential, we're just talking AV and how it's applied. And so I think it draws a broader audience from an attendee standpoint, from a manufacturing standpoint. It draws from Asia as well. So we rep Stuart Film Screens, so on the display side, we're not just projection screens. We're looking at, what's coming out of China in terms of giant LCD walls, LED walls, all of this other technology that will eventually hit domestically. We see it here first, and we get a really good glimpse as to sort of what is going to come around the boat next year, give or take. So, for me, it's just from a tech standpoint, it's great, and it's just you kind of have an AV conversation. You're not trying to slice it and dice it and make it right for the particular person you're talking to. It's just, it's more dynamic, I think. And, I'd like to see that here, quite honestly. We make it really hard on ourselves.
Yeah, you don't see it in Infocom. Obviously, from what I know, you don't see anything in Infocom. You see it ISC. It's a whole different world over there. With everything, it really is a whole different world over there.
Now, I would say that you probably have 60-70% of the people who are at Infocom are at ISC. Maybe a little bit. Not getting the small American companies, but you're getting pretty much everybody major. It's a reasonably economical show to do. So you even see little companies fairly small shops. I'm trying to think of like Sound Control Technologies. Okay. They make extenders for cameras and some small control pieces. Yeah.
That's not really what I meant, though.
They go to it and they go to those shows because they have a market in Europe, and they don't. And so that's where they have to go to meet their distributors and their customers.
Yeah, I got to tell you, the other thing that's happening, and I know we've talked about global markets for a long time, but I mean, just over the past couple of months, we're starting to see the conversations freely about China manufacturing, whereas before it was, they wouldn't talk about it. It was an implication that maybe it wasn't a superior product, but the manufacturer clearly saying we manufacture in China. Our distribution sometimes is in Europe, and there's some companies that we're discovering right now that are Europe based. So that's what ISC intrigues me about. I mean, it's getting exposed to some people that have solutions that we're looking for.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You just can't get those LEDs in close with adult hands.
Okay. And anyway, back to
the global market.
Yeah. Anyway, back to what I was saying. Well, what I didn't mean that you won't see those companies. What I'm saying is it just seems like the whole different world at ISC in terms of the visibility, in terms of, how many converge on it. It's 4 days Katie, I guess you can attest to what ISC is all about compared to any other trade show. It's the biggest trade show in the industry. you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah, it is. You know, and it's, as I said, I mean, for us, it's a little bit of a fact-finding mission as well. It's almost, it kind of has replaced CES in that regard, just from a seeing what's coming. You know, CES is a completely different beast now than it used to be. But, you know, it, as every year we always look back, we probably should have been there. Mm. You know, we never have clients anymore that exhibit, but, yeah. You know, there's just technology launch pad. And, you know, so ISE for us, you know, more on the AV and especially, you know, with custom and commercial, it's more of a launch pad there. Mm. It just gives us a good glimpse, you know, and by, for, you know, kind of the insider's tip is it gives you a really good glimpse at the beginning of the year for what you want to be planning for Infocom. You know, so whether you attend or not, you should follow and, the news.
And for most large companies, some have gotten off of, like Extron has gotten off of the trade show announcement. But for us and companies like Crestron and a lot of them, there's two major announcement points a year, and it's ISE and Infocom. So you are going to see, you know, what is going to be shipping through your summer and fall season at ISE is going to be the first time that you get a glimpse, depending on, you know, we try not to announce things 2 years out. Sometimes it accidentally happens. So we didn't think it would take 2 years.
Okay. So just so everybody knows, John Green went dark for a few minutes. He ran out to get more Powerball tickets. Okay.
Absolutely.
Hopefully he got one.
I'm just lining them up so I can read them really quick. Like a Twitter feed.
Johnny, you all set? It's only a couple of hours, not even a couple of hours away for those numbers.
Huh? I'm going to go to sleep tonight and hope that my phone lights up.
Wow. So anyway, when this show posts on Friday, you know, John Green may be nowhere to be found. You know, he may be.
Oh no! I'm going to be around.
He'll be around. He'll be on social media dancing on Facebook. Is what he'll
be. I'm
going to
be that guy.
Yeah, he's going to be that guy either way. So anyway. Absolutely. So anyway, Johnny Moda. So Johnny, if you were walking up the pole at that booth. Okay, what would be the one big question you would ask Paul Zeeley? Okay, I mean, you're trying to throw him a curveball. What is it?
I would ask him why he didn't make all his scheduled appointments at 2,500 hours.
Okay, Paul.
That's a good idea.
Oh, there you go.
You can go ahead and keep that.
Yeah.
So Johnny is actually connected in tech. Johnny is, you know, Johnny is the IoT. I mean, you talk about IoT in the industry.
So what you're saying is he's insecure.
He's unsecure.
Well played, Paul. Well played.
Unsecure.
Johnny is hardly insecure. Anyway, yes, Johnny is the IoT of the AV industry, and he's going to tell us in his segment, Connected. Johnny is connected. Here he goes.
As Paul said, yes, insecure and doesn't work. staying connected. I don't know if IoT and I, in many earlier shows, I stated that IoT isn't new. It's just new to you. Cause if you're in our industry and you're probably well aware of everything living on the network, own the network, everything is connected on the network. As we mentioned earlier, or you mentioned ISE controls, smart home, smart buildings. That stuff lives on the network, and it's important to have a robust network, whether we're talking about the quote-unquote IoT smart devices. And I think most people think as IoT being a smart bulb from whoever, Philips, whoever, right? But it isn't just one simple device. Moving forward, commercial is far more advanced than Resi is in the world of smart, intelligent buildings that operate for us because it's code. And I strongly feel that that is a smart move because we no longer live in the past. Living in the future that we live in, and even where Katie's living, in beautiful Montana, Oracle is moving there, and I think that's awesome. So she's going to get some really, I'm guessing fiber by the end of the year. That's my guess. But that's going to advance technology. So they're going to be building, if Oracle truly is moving there, they're going to have a controlled building with sensors and things that give the space the ability. I don't know what I'm talking about. That's all I got. Thanks. Good night.
I think I heard a mic drop.
And boom.
And
convergence.
Boom. Convergence. You know, we can't have a show without that word, you know. I mean,
I'm sorry.
I'm going to have to talk about my – I'm calling them blogs again, by the way, because Krista's gone. I don't have any rules. So they're blogs again. They're not Bacon's anymore. I can call my blogs. I'm going to talk about today's blog that I posted because it does talk about IoT – I don't want to say that word – and other things. It mentions Paul Zeeley. It mentions John Green's company, Advanced AV. It mentions TJ Adams. He was on the last week's show. But before we get to that, Stacey Kringlin's here. Hi, Stacey.
Hello.
Hello. So you wanted to talk – I'm trying to remember what you wanted to talk about tonight. You wanted to talk about replacing replacing the kicker. I think – are you a kicker, Stacey?
No.
Your daughter's a soccer player. Your daughter's?
Yes.
We could replace Minnesota's kicker with her.
But would you be a kicker for the $495,000 minimum that an NFL rookie gets?
As long as it was all indoor stadiums.
Oh, she has to play in indoor. Okay. Could you imagine that in the contract? I'll play for the minimum as long as I'm only kicking in indoor stadiums.
Right. Exactly. No one can try and tackle me.
So
no, thank you.
So basically the backup kicker kicks in the outside. Mm-hmm. Right. So, okay, Stacey, so we know you're not a kicker. We know you do customer service, though. This we know.
Yes.
And we know you have some pretty epic customer service calls during your days, right? So
sure.
What was that bell? So why don't you give us a little customer service tip, how you should properly handle customer service in any given situation?
I guess just always be polite. But, I mean, I think the most difficult thing is when you're on the phone and someone is extremely upset and you have to convince them that you are doing everything you can to fix their problem while make it, even if they're wrong, and still make them feel like they are the smartest person you've ever spoke to in your life.
That's probably if you wrote this book, it would be a bestseller, I could tell you right now, because I don't think anybody could figure out how that's possible. But so anyways,
The number one tip, though, if you're dealing with, is if you talk with a smile on your face, they are less apt to yell at you.
I can't see you smiling.
If I sound nice, but you can hear it. I mean, if I'm talking like this, you know, I'm not smiling.
Oh, John. Okay,
so you're like this.
Yeah.
Oh,
smiling. I get it.
So, John, your customer service people, I tell you, they must smile all day, huh?
I gotta tell you, I wrote a blog about a month ago, and I talked to our customer service person on our managed services side, and it really is amazing. And the key to it is that you gotta calm them down. It's like a 911 call. Mm. I mean, we actually literally somebody screaming and yelling that something's not working, and you go, "I would love to come to help me. I want to come over and help you. What building are you in?" And they keep screaming.
No, it's true.
We'll send a fire truck. Just what's the address?
And dial 911.
And it really does. It raises to a level. And the first thing that you have to do, as Stacey said, say it with a smile, calm them down, and then afterwards, they become your follower. They will go. Mm-hmm. They will hunt you down at a help desk if you help them once.
Yeah.
So, yep. Oh, I have people that when they call in, even if I don't answer the phone, they ask just for me.
Yes.
See, that's it too.
Right. We support, there's in a couple of buildings, there's an IT support channel and there's an AV channel. So there's an AV help desk and an IT help desk. And IT is pretty much standardized. Its approach to everything is turn it on, turn it off. And that takes care of about 90% of the situations. If they don't get help, they'll literally call the AV help desk because our AV help desk is willing to go, explain to me what you see. What are you touching? Don't do that again. And talk to them in many cases. And I think that's really key. And it doesn't take a whole lot of time. But, I mean, you get so much invaluable information about products, you know, how it's designed, how they're using it, why they're using it, if they're using it properly, it's great. So I think that's a key to success to a lot of companies.
Yeah. It's really an art. It really is an art form in some respects, you know, and Stacey, I hear, does it very well. The customers keep coming back. I don't know, Stacey, why aren't you like a C-level at this point with the work you do there and keep bringing business back to Vadio?
I'm not sure, but I would love to address that with somebody at my company.
I think we'll all address it. Oh, by the way, we have to do a special shout out, Stacey, to Haley Klein, right?
Yes.
Haley has left the company. She's on other things right now.
She broke my heart, but
she broke your heart a million pieces. That's right. But no, Haley's gone on to other things, and actually, Haley is going to be on with us upcoming, so we can't wait for that. But how's your assistant doing, Stacey? Is this working out?
She's getting there.
Tight-lipped.
She's getting there. She's getting there. She's making strides. She'll get there. Good. I have faith.
Good. Good. So, Johnny, when you go to a site and things are troubled, have you brought tacos with you? You know, hey, listen, calm down. I got some tacos in the truck.
I mean, you can't see it in the frame, but I got a plate of tacos right next to me.
Johnny's got tacos.
I went on a date on Monday, and I forgot to check in and say Taco Monday. And, missed opportunity. It's cool. I'll put it on Craigslist later for fun times.
Oh, there you go. Katie, any issues on that end you ever have to deal with?
No, not on that. More the other side where we end up being consultants or advisors to how to address certain forms of communications, particularly the...
You have your fire drills though, right? You do have your fire drills.
No, we do. We do. We totally do. We don't have kind of that.
Yeah.
We don't have that sort of a focus, but you know, literally we get calls on a daily basis for, hey, this situation came up. How do you think we should address it? How should we communicate that back? And I think it's just because of the age of social media, anything, I think there's a lot of paranoia of, you know, if we say the wrong thing, it's going to be plastered over the internet. Yeah. And we're never going to be able to get it down. Yeah. And I enjoy that. I mean, you know, I'm a strategist more than anything. So, you know, I enjoy kind of reaching through the message to get the result that, you know, you're looking for and forming a conversation around that. So
I think I know Paul's method. He just turns the volume down, doesn't listen to it anymore. Right, Paul?
I don't answer the phone.
He just doesn't answer the phone.
Paul has people to answer the phone for him.
How happy a customer is that when the phone just doesn't get answered at all?
if I'm expected to talk to a customer, it is the expectations are set before I talk to them.
Paul says, yeah.
I don't take random questions from... from the peanut gallery. There are people.
I imagine if you do get phone calls on any given day, you're like, who are you? How did you get this number? Prank call, click.
Yeah, very rarely, because I don't answer the phone if it's not coming through.
He says I got it on the website.
I get introductions, I make appointments, and I research, I answer their questions quickly, accurately. I'm not afraid to tell them it's their fault.
You violated every one of Stacey's principles. Hey, Stacey, imagine somebody calls with an emergency. You say, can we make an appointment? I'll talk to you tomorrow.
That phone call goes like
this. It's all your fault.
I'm a businessman, so I'm perfectly willing to also say, I'm sorry this is out of scope, but as a courtesy to you as a good customer, we're going to help you out. But it's really your fault.
It's not me, it's you.
No, there are things that are our fault. And I will absolutely, once again, much to the dismay of our salespeople, quickly throw ourselves under the bus if we made an error.
All right.
And correct it.
Well, you'll admit the fault if necessary, right?
Oh, no, right away.
Paul will not.
I don't have the transparency. To start with, usually if I'm in escalation, it's our fault, not my fault.
Yeah, our fault. That's how team comes into the picture with you, right?
You know, it's a team at that point. But I braved flying across the country the week before Christmas on a customer satisfaction issue that was entirely them just giving us a very hard time, and I spent a day and a half rebuilding their network so that our equipment would work, because it wasn't configured properly for the equipment based on the statement of work that said, you know, they had the responsibility and had to do this, and they of course said yes, and and ran through, and we did it. But I did very plainly say that we're doing this because we're a wonderful company who should be hired again.
Yes.
And you know, see, this is all your stuff I'm fixing.
Did they buy you drinks at least, Paul, after all is said and done?
Every now and then, but it was Colorado, so.
So, Stacy, let's take this down, okay? First of all, you don't want to speak to the customer. You say, listen, let's set an appointment for when you're calmed down, okay? Tomorrow, baby.
I am not a first line of support.
Right.
And let me tell you, by the
time. I think there's a reason for that.
We're getting that.
The problem gets to me. They are at, like, stage six of you know, they've gone through grief, bargaining, everything else. They finally just resigned themselves to their fate and are letting me do what needs to be done.
Resigned to their fate?
Yeah. So when fate or hatred comes into play, then Paul gets the call.
When fate or hatred enters the picture.
There's denial, anger, bargaining. So obviously Stacy's role is at the anger stage. I am at the acceptance of your fate stage.
Right.
Yeah, I'm somewhere. Wow. I don't get the initial anger. It's after they want to escalate a little bit. Then I'm in the middle.
The good one is denial.
The denial.
No, I don't have a problem. Yeah. Right. Very much. Can I close this?
It's when the sales guy is on the phone and says, "Stacy, you need to handle this." She goes, "Oh, what did you do to me?" Right. Right.
No, I like those calls. They'll always be like, "Hey, Stacy, you want to talk to this guy? He's really mad. He won't stop yelling." I'm like, "Perfect. My favorite kind of call.
Just what I need right now." Right.
Well, they are my favorite.
Yeah, but Stacy takes care of it. When the sales guy drops the ball, you pick it up, and they say, "Oh, can I call you next time? In fact, I want you to do my sales too." Right?
You win more customers that way every single time. I'm telling you.
Right. I learned that trick early years ago when I used to. Do a lot of video conferencing in ISDN. I had this really particular problem, and I had the analyzer. I knew exactly what it was. And every day I would get on the phone with Verizon and say, "I have a problem. You're not sending me information element 24. It's required under this. You have to do it." I'd get escalated around. Nothing would happen. One day I got escalated to this guy, and I explained the problem to him. He said, "Hold on. Try it now." It worked. And I said, "This is great. Can I get a number so if we run into anything further on?" He said, "Nope," and hung up.
That's not what I do.
You sat there with a dial tone and said, "I want to be that guy."
So Harman is a growing company, even though Paul's Ely, you know. And Vadio just grows by leaps and bounds because Stacy takes all the yelling calls and turns them into friends. So, you know, hey, listen, you want to get the right information. Here it is, all right? And if you do want to go see Paul Zeely at ISE, try and stump him. I guarantee you can't, but you can try. What is that booth number again, Paul?
Hashtag IN5. I've got it down. I started a hashtag.
Oh, really? Yes. It's a hashtag?
I started a hashtag.
Oh,
hashtag
John started a hashtag.
IN5. No need for an appointment.
Whoa. Look at that.
You say that like I actually show up at the booth.
Oh, right. There's like the other
one.
It's one and five.
Rave shows, but I've got this system. I work for the product management group, but I don't actually have a product. So therefore, I have to go to the trade shows, but I don't have to go to the booth.
Katie, how do you handle this guy? You know, if you're his publicist, how do you handle this?
How do we handle it? He's not a client to begin with. I love you. I do love you, but oh boy.
yeah, Katie's out.
You got to know when to fold him.
My VP of marketing agrees with me. He says that when people come to me in trade show booths, my answers are too long. And my response is, if they would ask better questions, my answers wouldn't have to be so long.
It's all your fault. Yeah,
right.
I just
have to back up.
Why don't people get Paul Zeely yet?
Question, I don't get it. Asking the right one.
Paul, after all these years, why don't people get you yet?
It's so weird that he only has 23 followers on Twitter.
It's split. The people, you know, as it goes in one way or the other, I have my fanboys that...
Yes, you do.
Kind of show up at everything and go through. And, mm-hmm. and you know, fortunately, I've been in this industry for long enough and act erratically enough that people don't really expect things.
Mm-hmm. And, I've watched Paul's fanboys go. It's incredible. It really is. I don't know, Paul. I don't know how you do it, but you got a following, man. You got groupies and everything. You're like a cult. It's the cult of Paul Zeeley.
Yeah.
You're like your own cult.
Yeah. I bet you picked up a bunch of followers just on this.
Probably. Podcast. He might have another follower on Twitter, number 24. That's Johnny, right. Have you followed Paul Zeeley yet?
No.
Please follow this guy.
I was going to ask the question. What's your tag? Because I don't have
John. Paul Zeeley. Oh, it's at Paul Zeeley.
Is it really straight up, right?
Yeah. Paul will never follow his soul, and he will never tweet.
I might someday. I keep on getting these random things. Would you like to, follow Taylor Swift and stuff?
Well, you know who would love you following him is Elon Musk, I think, would love you following him, Paul, okay?
I don't know.
That'd be a good man to follow. Or Johnny Mota. Follow Johnny Mota. He's right here.
Yeah, he could be my one.
Johnny's the creator of hashtag AV Tweeps. You got to follow this guy.
I love it. The first thing that pops up, born in 1963. That explains, I guess, a lot. I don't know. What is
probably.
It?
Does it?
There you go.
It's an aging industry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, and it ages fast. And speaking of this aging industry, I guess I'll get to my thing before we end this thing. And so mine is called AV is making the comeback with IT and parentheses and IoT. So, TJ Adams was on last week. And, TJ is a good friend. And I have to tell you, John Green, QSC, and Paul, a lot of the revolutionary things they're doing, software-based, DSP and all. And, I think TJ's one of those guys in the industry. There are a lot of people who have voice in the industry. And TJ, I met him at Infocom and interviewed him. Just amazing things going on with software. And we talk more about software in the industry. But, why I'm writing a blog like this is because we talk about AV/IT convergence. John, this has been going on for how long now? We've been talking AVIT.
Every time anybody, even now, it hurts my ears. The story's over. It's done.
And
you can throw other things at it, like IoT, and you can write other descriptors around it. It's just everything's on the network.
Well, but here's the thing.
I don't understand why people don't get it.
Well, but here's the thing. If you read this, first of all, so what I start with is, in IT, I start off with TJ. TJ wrote a blog on LinkedIn. It's More Than the Network, the Truth About AVIT Convergence. And he is getting into it. He's getting granular. He's talking about the term IT infrastructure as defined. Of course, Paul would read this. And of course, it makes a lot of sense.
I agree with him.
And to a lot of other people. But then next, I go into Paul. Because again, Paul Zeeley is known out there for networked AV. And as you talk about on the network, John, that's Paul. He talks about security as well. Because when you talk about the network, you have to kind of put in the security piece too, which is what Paul does.
The major pressing issue for the AV industry.
Oh, absolutely. So,
They don't trust us. They don't, again,
good reason.
Oh, Paul, I don't disagree. Paul, I don't disagree with you. I think that we run into situations but even on the customer side, there's weakness. There's weakness even on the customer side about what their infrastructure is, what it's capable of, and what you can touch without making things go blue.
And it's serious. We have a customer who had a breach that came through a building automation system.
Right.
The final cost to them was somewhere close to $70 million.
Sure. What do you mean the toaster took out my boardroom?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So there were people came in through a connected building automation system.
Right.
And went in and did havoc. And the $70 million isn't just on things lost. It's infrastructure that has to change, investigations that have to go through, customers that you have to disclose, going in
set up policy and operations.
Right.
State of policy and operations is that what your employees are allowed to do.
Yeah.
And should be allowed to do. I mean, that's the demand.
Yeah.
These people are, I am able to do my job off of my iPhone. So that means whatever network I'm on is working perfectly fine for me to do it. Now, right. I go into my job and I can't do stuff. Please.
So, John, do you use your own devices at work?
Yes.
Do you have a policy set?
No.
Okay. All right. No, that's a fair answer. That's a fair answer.
I think that it's the policy is we trust that you're adults and you're not idiots.
Well, yeah.
And again, you have a company of 100 or 125 people, which we are right now. That's a relatively safe and secure. Mm-hmm. It's going to get to that magic number of 149, and that guy's going to come.
Yeah, now
cause commotion.
Transfer that thought to the enterprise company, and now you got a whole bunch of them running around. You are going to have those people in there who are going to be doing the wrong thing.
And the problem is, a lot of the major breaches have happened because they weren't following good security practices because it was inconvenient.
Yes.
They didn't want to have to verify or log in a separate time. They wanted to be able to just pull things between one computer or another, and setting things up. So a lot of what I have spent the fall talking about in my public life, as opposed to what I'm working on in building at work is the responsibility of whoever is putting together the system, whether it's the integrator or the customer or the consultant, to specify up front what the security requirements are with as exit criteria. Mm-hmm. And I got in a big, I'll say, discussion with a consultant who was saying that, to use names, Crestron has now set things up so things are off by default. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do that, but our company was concerned about the ease of installation and the legacy. So there are certain things in our new firmware that you have to do. So passwords are on by default and you have to do some things, but we don't disable all the services and everything. And the consultant was saying, well, you're insecure and they're secure. And I said, that's wrong. Can you enable their services? I said, yeah. They said, yeah. I said, then you're negligent if you don't specify how it has to be configured when it's handed over to the customer, because they can do anything they want. And it doesn't matter if it comes out of the box. It may be easier for them. But if you do not specify the way it has to operate securely, and you're going to depend on a manufacturer's default as your, security configuration, then that's negligent.
We're a systems integration company, and you've experienced we've caused you pain, you've caused us pain. But to a large degree, the responsibility to get these things done takes an X amount of time.
Yeah.
Some of those responsibilities have changed. They've just changed to an IT responsibility.
Yeah.
They've changed to understanding and having a communication. Mm. There used to be, you go back to a control system. Well, what do you want the thing to do? Well, after a while, we got down to being 50 hours of conversations to, 90% of it is covered with this, and here we'll talk about it for 10%.
Yeah. And what I tell the integration
on this, our interface to the clients and to their IT department is wrestling them and demanding the respect on both sides.
And what I tell the integration companies to do is take the best practices and write up a standard two pager that says this is our standard security configuration. Please sign here that it's acceptable.
Exactly. That makes sense.
If it's not acceptable, it's then on the customer to say, no, you have to take these other steps. But at least when you get down to the end, the problem is at commissioning, suddenly I've seen specs that say the system shall be securely configured.
Right.
Try debating that at commissioning as to whether you can get paid or not.
Just a little bit of more than 64 shades of gray in that statement, I believe.
Yeah. Right.
But I see statements like that. So I've really been encouraging, and I've started to write up,
Paul, you've seen that.
You can take that conversation
and change it from IT to anything else. Is that their statements to pass along the buck or pass along the responsibility to anybody but you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I tell you what, Paul, I believe you were having that kind of, when I saw you at Infocom Connections, I think you were talking about that as a matter of fact.
Yeah, actually, right? I just written a white paper that started laying out how to specify and suggested language and some techniques to force it into a deliverable. I'm a big believer in the statement of work.
Yeah.
I wasn't kidding when I have no problem going to the customer and making sure that they know that I'm going beyond the statement of work, because that's what makes good relations and has value. But you know, a statement of work protects everybody that's involved. And this is becoming so big with the potential damages that you have to be protected and make sure that the customer's belief of what they're getting is the same as your belief of what you're giving.
Yeah.
And it's no different than anything else, except it's a little harder than saying the projector is going to, you know, have X number.
And you know, Paul, we're going to have to wrap up. But I'll tell you what, the scope of work, the statement of work was always the most important thing to me. And I tell you what, nothing went out until I was happy with it. Forget everybody else. I had to be happy with what was going out. And then I sent it, because every single I dotted, T crossed and everything else, and even whatever else had to be added, once that thing is signed off, it better be signed off all right, so there's no questions later on.
Well, and ultimately, as much as I love technology, the statement of work is what gets you paid.
That's it in the end. So anyway, just to finish the thoughts here. So, and I think this is a great conversation for another discussion. But I talked about IoT. John, you guys put out what I thought was a great blog, Digital Signage Meets the Internet of Things.
Yeah.
And, you know, we won't get too deep into it now. We'll talk about it another time. But, you know, talking about the union of IoT and the growth of devices, you gave examples here. Organizations can leverage digital signage on how they can do it in IoT. It really makes a lot of sense to me. So the people who basically cast it aside, they're saying AV/IT and convergence just like it's, you know, the term of the century.
Right.
No, it isn't. It is real. And there are people that you can read what they're talking, read what they're saying, go to the sessions they're doing, you know, read the white papers. It's all there. There are statements to it. So that's what I'm trying to say here, is that there is proof that exists. There's evidence to this whole thing.
Right. And so, ultimately, AV over IT is just IT.
Yes.
And the nice thing about that is, if somebody wants to self-learn about IT, there are sets of free information of high quality out there, way beyond what you could ever get with IT. Just try to Google and figure out how to convert nits to lux.
There you go. Oh, I got a better idea. I got a better idea.
Sites out there that
you go visit Paul Zeely at ISE, ask him the question. He'll be happy. Everybody's standing in
line. I can't remember how to do it. When I figured it out, I put the spreadsheet. I've never.
Well, you better figure out between now and ISE, because everybody's standing in line to ask that question and have a beer. So anyway, to wrap this thing up, thank you so much for Paul Zeely from Harman, John Green from Advanced AV. John, you win that Powerball, man. I tell you, I can't wait to see Adele in your living room.
I'm going
to
be, absolutely. Fantastic. You know what? Yeah. I'm going to invite you. Make sure you're in the back row, though, okay? I got some people at the front row already lined up.
Oh, my gosh, John. You know, I'm promoting the hell out of this. I'm in the back row.
Laugh as you may, I'm telling you. I'll pull that off.
Okay.
$585 million? I think I could do something.
Yeah, I can't wait to read the Facebook post tomorrow morning. You are all upset, and you know, that's funny as shit, I tell you. Anyway, again, Paul, thank you. John, thank you. My crew. Stacey Kringlin. She's wonderful, you know? She really is. Look at that smile. You can't see it. I can. Katie McGregor-Bennett, KMB Communications. Nice, Katie. She's smiling, too. Look at that.
I'm smiling, right? We're all smiling, but only
you. We get smiles from everyone. Well, Johnny doesn't smile. I don't know why.
You can hear it in his voice.
Well, you can hear the smile in his voice. Oh, there you go. It's thumbs up. Anyway, for my crew, thank you all out there for listening, and we will see you next time.